This episode of the Axon Creative Podcast is brought to you by a new sponsor. We're very excited about this, Heffler & Co., online at typography.com. Later in the episode, we're going to give a special offer for Axon Creative listeners to save 15% when ordering fonts at typography.com. Hey everyone, welcome to the Accidental Creative Podcast. My name is Todd Henry. I'm your host. I'm also the author of a bunch of books, The Accidental Creative, Die Empty, Louder Than Words, and the book Herding Tigers, which is about how to lead creative teams effectively. So a couple of episodes ago, we began a series on everyday bravery. I called it the hero myth. And what I mean by the hero myth is that I think we often think that bravery is the domain of a select few people, right? Only a select few people are truly brave, or only a segment of the population is truly brave. And the rest of us just kind of go about our lives and kind of do what we do, but we don't see what we do every day as acts of bravery. Well, what I want to do in this series is talk about the nature of bravery, because I believe that each of us as creative professionals, we have to exhibit everyday bravery in order to do our job. To create is an act of bravery, because you're turning uncertainty into something tangible, something visible. And by doing that, you're making a statement. You're basically offering a point of view, and offering a point of view is a brave act, because other people aren't going to see things the same way that you do. So every time you make a decision, every time you do something creative, you create a system, you create a product, you create a design, you are in essence planting a flag and saying, here's my point of view, which is an act of bravery. But here's the thing. There are all kinds of ways in our life, in our career, in our jobs, in our marketplace, where we, you know, are confronted every day with a decision about whether we're going to be brave or whether we're going to be a coward. And so in this series, we're just unpacking some of those areas where I'm going to encourage you to do a little bit of deep excavation and consider, okay, am I being brave? Am I truly being brave in my work and in my life, or am I defaulting to comfort? So today I want to give a couple of specific ways that we can process this as we move into, and then the next couple of episodes, we're going to talk about the specific things at work that we can do to exhibit bravery as a manager, as a leader, or as a professional in the marketplace. And then we're going to talk about in our own lives, our personal lives as well, on upcoming episodes. Before we jump into today's episode, a couple of things. If you want transcripts of these podcasts, they go out every Friday to the email list. All you have to do is go to accidentalcreative.com/subscribe and jump on the email list. And you're going to get basically every Friday, you're going to get a transcript, or at least my thoughts about the episode. If it's an interview, typically it's my thoughts. If it's a solo episode, typically it's a transcript of the episode. You can get it at accidentalcreative.com/subscribe. It goes out every Friday to tens of thousands of people. Okay. So check it out there. Also, this episode is sponsored by Heffler & Co., online at typography.com. There's nothing more critical to good design than good typography. We have a lot of designers listening to the show, and I know that you know this is true. Good typography begins with the best possible ingredients, the fonts themselves. Heffler & Co. are the designers of some of the world's most beloved typefaces, classics like Gotham and Knockout, and new designs like Operator and Decimal, typefaces that are designed to work well and to work everywhere, whether you're designing for print, for web, or even a mobile project. At typography.com, you'll find nothing but the highest quality fonts with complete families, deep character sets, and clever features to help you solve design problems, as well as free tutorials to help you become a master typographer. Right now, as an Accidental Creative listener, you can save 15% on your next font order by using the code ACCIDENTAL at checkout when you visit typography.com/accidental. Again, that's 15% off your next font order. Just use the code ACCIDENTAL at checkout when you visit typography.com/accidental. And we think Heffler & Co. for sponsoring this episode of the Accidental Creative Podcast. Okay, this is the second of a series on the importance of bravery, everyday bravery in our life and in our work. And just to recap, in the last episode, I gave this definition of bravery. Bravery exists whenever someone or person engages in right action at the potential expense of their own comfort. Cowardice, on the other hand, exists when someone chooses self-protection at the expense of right action. And it's possible to appear brave to other people while actually behaving in a cowardly way. You can posture and act brave, but that doesn't necessarily mean you're acting bravely. And you can also appear to be a coward to other people while actually doing the brave thing, because the brave thing in that case is appearing to be a coward and not caring about that because you know that you're doing the right thing. So in order for something to be considered an act of bravery, it has to be sourced in the desire to do what's right, even at the risk of personal cost. And we're going to set aside our perception of what's right, you know, in this situation, because, and we'll talk about that later. But the important thing is bravery, whether it's creative bravery, bravery as a manager, as a leader, bravery is the willingness to do what's right, even at the risk of personal cost, which begs the question, how do you decide what's right? So on this episode, I want to share just a few distinctions between everyday bravery and cowardice. And then on the upcoming episodes, I'm going to share the specifics of what this means, especially in a work context, the specifics of how to be brave in a work context. So let's talk about the distinction between bravery and cowardice. Understand that every single person at times exhibits remarkable bravery and also cowardice. This isn't something we get right 100% of the time. However, we all have the ability to choose our response to our circumstances, and simply stopping to consider what right action in the face of discomfort means can help parse brave action from cowardice. So really, one of the things I want to do with this series is just encourage you to pause and reflect before you act. What is right action here, even in the face of discomfort? So let's dive in. Here are a few qualities of brave people versus cowards and how these situations play out in work and in life. Okay. The first principle is this: brave people are protective, cowards exploit. So if your actions are to protect someone or to protect something vulnerable, whether that's a person or an ideal, then there's a good chance it's right action. However, if your intent is to take advantage of someone or to deprive them of something they might otherwise enjoy, it's certainly not. Now, listen, please understand, I'm not talking about marketplace competition, right? I'm not saying that you should just lay down and let your competitors take all of your clients. That's not what I mean. When we compete in the marketplace, we agree to certain rules. And one of those rules is that somebody's likely going to lose. So that's competition, right? That's fair competition. I'm talking about leveraging advantages to exploit those who don't even know they're being exploited, right? To take advantage of others who don't even realize they're being taken advantage of. That's the definition of cowardice. It's action at a distance where you're exploiting people, but you're not even, they don't even know they're being exploited often, because it's hidden action that if revealed would look really, really bad. So here's the first question I have for you is, are you leveraging your advantage to exploit people in some capacity? And again, think about this through the work lens. Obviously, there are implications in our personal life as well, but think about it through the work lens, right? Is there any way in which you, your organization, your team are using your advantage to exploit people right now, even unknowingly? And what would bravery look like in the face of that? Okay. The second thing is this: brave people reveal truth at the right time. And that's important, at the right time. Cowards conceal it. Brave people know that truth is never really a threat, but even if it costs their livelihood or relationship, it's important to engage in revelation of truth. The cost of inaction is simply too vast to take the easy way out. And this gets to the issue of character, right? A willingness to face the truth is critical if we want to exhibit everyday bravery. You know, some managers hide the truth. They defer revealing the truth because they don't want to face the consequences of revealing the truth to their team. Maybe it's an uncomfortable situation for the organization, something that's on the horizon, something their team's going to be asked to do, and they don't want to reveal it because they know it's going to be uncomfortable for them primarily. It's going to be, you know, an uncomfortable conversation, so they push it off. And there can be wisdom in deferring letting people know things, but sometimes we do that because it's the cowardly thing, not because it's the wise thing. Right? So is there any place where you're hiding from or concealing the truth in your life? Is there any place where you're hiding from or concealing the truth? And what would brave action look like? All right. The third thing is this: brave people consider context and scale. Cowards think about right now. So the brave choice is the one that takes into account nuance and context. It's empathetic and it scales in a positive way. Okay. So the brave choice is the one that takes into consideration all of the context of that action. Cowardly action is only concerned with immediate consequences. So for example, we think about the prototypical person storming a beach in a war, right? The brave person is thinking about their decision and how their decision, they're doing their job and how their decision to storm the beach might play out over the long term, what the long-term big implications are of lots of people acting bravely. Cowards are only thinking about, I want to save my life. I want to save my life. I want to save my life, right? So what does bravery look like for you? What does cowardice look like in the sense of thinking about context and scale? So my actions today have resonant consequences tomorrow and next month and next year. Brave people think about those consequences, not just getting what they can while they can, but they're thinking about the second and third order consequences of their actions. So are you thinking about the downstream consequences of your conversations, of your actions, of the things that you're doing today? What are the downstream consequences of those choices? If you want to be brave, you need to think about that. You need to consider context and scale, not just immediate gratification. All right. The fourth thing is this: brave people are principle driven. Cowards go with their gut. So brave people have a framework for making decisions that's so ingrained that their actions in the face of adversity are almost automatic in some cases, right? Now, not always, but sometimes. Cowards just wing it and do whatever feels best in the moment. So do you have a framework for making decisions or a set of principles that guides your behavior? In Herding Tigers, I offered a framework for developing this set of principles as a leader. And it's essential that you do so that your team knows where you stand and they can follow you with confidence. If they feel like they're just going with your gut all the time, they're not going to trust you. They're not going to follow you. But if they feel like you're making principle-centered decisions, they will follow you because they know that your perspective, your decisions are not going to waffle depending on how it affects you personally. Okay, so what are your guiding principles? Do you have guiding principles? Think about creating for a client. You need to have some framework, some set of principles that you use to make decisions for your clients so that they can trust that you are creating in a way that is in their best interest, not just in your best interest, right? So what are your guiding principles when you're making decisions? All right, here's the next one. I'm throwing a lot at you, sorry, but there's a lot here. Brave people face consequences. Cowards blame others. So brave people are willing to be known by their choices and they're willing to face the consequences of their actions, whether those are good or bad consequences, right? Hey, if something turns out well, you should get the benefit of that. You should get the acclaim for that even. But if things go badly, you also have to be willing to take the blame. So on the eve of the D-Day invasion, Supreme Allied Commander Dwight Eisenhower wrote two letters. A lot of people don't know this. He wrote two letters. The first letter praised the brave men who stormed the beaches of Normandy and credited them for a heroic victory that signaled the turning of World War II. So that was the first one, was the, hey, we achieved victory and I want to give all the praise to the young men who stormed the beach. The second letter, which was only to be issued in the event of a failed invasion, praised the bravery of the men, just the same as the first letter, but also took full responsibility for the failure. He stated that if any blame is to be placed, it rested on his shoulders alone. That, friends, that's the definition of good, brave leadership, a willingness to take responsibility for your actions, to step out to do something, and then to assume responsibility for the consequences of that action. So are you shifting blame or are you assuming responsibility? Are you pointing fingers or are you making sure that if something goes wrong because of your decisions, it's resting on your shoulders? That's what bravery looks like. Okay, the next principle is this: brave people initiate, cowards just let life happen to them. So those who choose bravery know that it often means being the first mover when other people are scared to move. It means initiating reconciliation in a relationship. Maybe there's some difficulty in a relationship. Are you going to pursue reconciliation in that relationship or are you just going to let life happen? Being the first to start a venture. Are you going to step out and take the chance or are you going to let other people go first and see what happens, right? Now, sometimes there's wisdom in that for sure, that, you know, but we confuse wisdom with cowardice. I think that we often think that it's wise to wait, but really we're just scared, even though we know it's wise. Even though we know the right thing to do is to act, we wait, we pause because we're afraid of the potential consequences of our action, right? Are you going to be the first one in the water? So here's my challenge to you, and this is especially important in these uncertain times. Where do you need to initiate rather than just letting life happen to you? Are you sitting back and waiting for opportunities, or are you going out and creating opportunities for yourself right now? This is an important time to do that, right? Where do you need to initiate rather than just letting life happen to you? All right, here's the next principle. Brave people listen, cowards just want to be heard. So brave people are not threatened by differing opinions. They're not. Brave leaders know that brilliance is forged in the cauldron of creative conflict. We must listen to others, especially if they disagree with us, so that we can empathize and better understand how to move forward together. That's what leadership is. It's not, hey, everybody follow me. It's, hey, let's move forward together and I will be the tip of the spear. Cowards posture and talk over others rather than listening to their point of view. That's what a coward does. So here's the question. Are you open to opinions that differ from yours? Are you just shooting from the hip and are you getting defensive the moment that somebody challenges you? Or are you open to opinions that differ from yours? Or are you protecting yourself at the expense of right action? That's the definition of cowardice. Okay, brave people listen, cowards want to be heard. All right, here's the final principle. Brave people follow through, cowards hedge. So those who choose to be brave and choose the brave path know that it means seeing things through to the end, even when things get uncomfortable. Now, that doesn't mean if you learn something and you realize, oh, actually, this is not a good idea, that you have to follow through, right? But I'm talking about when you don't follow through because it gets uncomfortable. Cowards might be eager to jump in, but they abandon their effort when it begins to cost them something. Starting something is easy. It is. Starting something is easy, but seeing it through requires bravery. Where are you tempted to quit because things are getting difficult? And what will it take for you to follow through? Brave people follow through, cowards hedge. I encourage you to finish something this month. Finish it, right? Something that's been sitting on your desk, something that's in your drawer, finish it this month. Brave people follow through, cowards hedge. Okay, I hope these principles help you to parse your responses. Again, if you want, I know it's a lot. If you want a transcript, accidentalcreative.com/subscribe. I'm going to be sending it out on Friday of this week. I hope these principles help you to parse your responses this week and to take steps toward bravery over cowardice. That's the goal of this entire series. We need more bravery infused in our workplaces, friends. We do. Choose right action, even in the face of discomfort. Be brave, friends. Choose bravery. All right. We'd love to hear your thoughts, your feedback, your comments about this. interact@accidentalcreative.com is my email address. You can reach me there or at accidentalcreative.com. Remember, friends, cover bands don't change the world. Don't be a cover band. You need to find your unique voice if you want to thrive. We'll see you next time.